The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast,
foretold in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the rain-soaked heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Welcome to our humble bunker. And thank the Lord, it is a dry bunker today, because it was yes. Not a few days ago.
Not that we have much to complain about in the grand scheme of things, but...
I hear something worrying.
That would be your laptop there, dear.
Well, what's it doing there, honey?
It's heating up.
Oh, man. Cool off there, babe.
Get ready to take off.
It's because it's not a Mac. I cannot take it. Poor little PC.
Yeah. Wednesday night, as we record this on May 1st of 2011, this past Wednesday, we had near... record rainfall. It was rain of nearly historic proportions. I gather that in Coles County, Illinois, here we've had we're essentially broken about a 90-year record for rainfall for the month of April.
That's what our neighbor was telling us. We didn't hear this on the radio or read it in the paper, but she did, and she's a reliable source as far as I'm concerned. A lovely lady.
Yeah. Well, it would certainly make sense because downriver, the Mississippi is. Overflowing its banks in southern Illinois. South of St. Louis, the Mississippi River, experts say, may exceed the levels hit in the record flood of 1932, 33, somewhere back then. And there's a legal fight in federal court between the states of Missouri and Illinois over whether they're going to sacrifice about 130,000 acres of farmland in Missouri or the town of Cairo, Illinois, which has been totally evacuated. So our prayers are with the people.
How much farmland? We're talking about tens of thousands of acres?
130,000 acres.
That's a lot of acres. Notice how the number 13 is in there.
Yeah. 90 families living down that way, about 230 people, and 2,800 from the town of Carroll. All have been evacuated, and Missouri filed suit. A federal judge put a stay on the Army Corps of Engineers blowing those levees down near Carroll.
Well, it's continuing to rain down there. They're going to have to make some kind of a decision.
Yeah, the Mississippi or the Ohio River at Carroll is at 60 feet 8 inches or thereabouts, and if they hit 61 feet, there's a good chance that they'll blow those levees. And
is that where the Ohio joins the Mississippi?
Yep.
Right near the New Madrid Fault.
Yep. In fact, the one of the levees that they're looking at blowing has New Madrid in the name. So just like in 1993 when the Missouri and the Mississippi came together at St. Louis, and St. Louis was under many parts of the metro were under about 8 feet of water. So,
including your old boss,
including the place I worked for 10 years. And that was before I went to work for them. But they still had the white mark on the light pole outside the window to mark the high water line about 8 feet off the ground.
Oh, my goodness. So, well, you know, if you're living somewhere that is threatened by the floods or has been if you've been a victim of the tornadoes, we are so praying for you. The Lord is going to renew and restore all the things that have been taken away. He really does love you. He truly does. So if you're going through something right now, you know, send us a note. We can't necessarily change what you're going through, but we can mourn with you. We can rejoice with you. We can pray with you and agree with you as touching anything that you are hoping that the Lord and praying that the Lord will do for you.
Amen. Yeah, a lot of people out there in some bad situation right
now. And many of you, frankly, were praying for us when we were going through the minor difficulties we had. And, I mean, those people who are going through true flood dangers, that's the major thing. We were going through a very minor thing with a lot of water, mind you. We're talking about a ton of water that came in.
Literally
a ton of water. We carried a ton of water over 3 hours' time back and forth and dumped it down the toilet. So
yeah. Well, we're just thankful that our next door neighbor is
16 tons. What do you get?
thankful that the water started coming in early enough in the evening that we were able to go next door to our neighbor who's a...
We don't know them well enough yet to go over there at midnight.
An amateur carpenter, or at least a hobbyist, but he's got one of those heavy-duty shop vacs. And based on the number of times we dumped it out, I lost count at about 320 gallons. Mm. But again, that is as nothing compared to what the South has endured. Tuscaloosa, Alabama, a big swath of it flattened by a huge, just absolutely terrifying tornado. In fact, the company I work for suffered some damage to the plant. A large overhead crane over the steel yard was knocked off its tracks and crashed to earth.
A big crane. When you say large, we're talking a monstrously big crane.
Big industrial-sized crane, right. We've seen pictures from other places down there, a tube mill down there in Birmingham, Alabama, that was flattened. And just imagine, I mean, you see pictures on the news of what happens when a tubifor gets caught up in a tornado and can go right through a tree. Just imagine a bunch of 21-foot lengths of steel pipe, you know, inch and a half, 2-inch diameter, flying through the air like a bunch of javelins. It's not a pretty thought. So our prayers with the folks in Alabama and all the damage and destruction taking place there. It just really a nasty, nasty spring following a very long winter here in the heartland of the United States.
It has indeed. Well, let's go off to another thing. Today's the 1st of May. May Day.
Yes.
May Day.
And it was 1 year ago today that a group of professing Christians gathered in the National Mall for a sunrise service in the shadow of Washington Monument.
The National Wiener.
Yeah. And because, of course, you know, the world's largest obelisk is there in Washington, D.C. So there was that. Today, the big event, of course, was the beatification of Pope John Paul II.
That's such an... First of all... We should not worship artifacts, nor should we worship fellow believers.
Right.
Assuming John Paul is, you know, in the presence of Christ right now, and I pray he is, only that's between him and God, we should never worship someone who has gone on. We are all saints, all those who are part of the body of Christ. We are all saints.
Right.
And to say that he is anything different or anything special that we should worship him is just ate up.
In 1 Timothy, Paul makes it very clear that the only mediator for humans between us and God is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so the purpose of canonizing a good man or woman, and some have expressed explained the requirement for canonization. In order to be declared an official saint in the Roman Catholic Church, they have to verify and certify two miracles. And it has been explained by some anyway that this is proof that the saint or that the blessed, which is the official title for those that have been beatified, is in heaven and able to intercede for us. Well, again, we know scripturally there's no precedent for this. We're told by the Apostle Paul that there is no mediator other than Jesus Christ himself. And there is no example in Scripture anywhere of praying to a dead human other than Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully human.
Amen. Amen. So, well, Pope John Paul's body has been exhumed, and he is to be reinterred.
Right.
And his, as I understand it, the cover to his tomb has been sent to, I think, to a group of nuns in Poland. But blood has been sent to four different locations, Poland being one of them. And it's just samples of his blood that has been treated with an anticoagulant so that it is liquid.
Well, those were drawn during his final days so they could get a match in case they needed to do a transfusion.
Okay.
And it turned out that those were not needed. But
they have been treated with an anticoagulant, so they are liquefied.
Right.
Which has been, you know, revealed. It's not like they're trying to pull a fast one and, oh, look, it's a miracle. Mm-hmm. The blood is liquid all the time. Because there are those, quote-unquote, saints who... that's one of the miracles, is that their blood liquefies once a year.
Yeah, and that the body shows no corruption or you know, various other things, right. No, this was done as part of the medical process, but it's been saved. Those are, at least one of those vials was interred in a special reliquary that was created for the occasion today.
Well, the worshiping of relics is it's not scriptural either.
No. And I was looking at, you know, in fairness, I was looking at a Roman Catholic apologetics site today just to, you know, find out what the explanations
because
were.
Because neither you, well, I have nothing to do with the Catholic Church. You were part of the Catholic Church for a short time.
And to be honest with you, really didn't study it like I should have. For a number of reasons, I say should have, you know, because you really should believe based on evidence.
And trust me, if the Baptists were doing this, we would be saying the very same things.
That's correct.
Nothing to do with the denomination. It is what they are choosing to do with a fallen believer. I have no idea if Pope John Paul is in the presence of Christ. I pray he is. So I'm just going to assume he's a believer.
Right. All we know from Scripture is that none are righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all we know for sure. But the official explanation is that the precedents that they point to in Scripture are the miracles that occurred when believers were healed, when the shadow of Peter fell across them, or when they touched the hem of Paul's garment or Jesus' garment or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they justify the use of relics. And it used to be official policy in the Roman Catholic Church that every altar had to have a relic beneath it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that's still the official practice, but that used to be the practice. And last week we tossed off some speculation about May 1st, and in fairness, there was a comment to PID Radio that pointed out that May 1st in the Roman Catholic calendar is the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, which was a feast that was established to counter May Day celebrations in communist countries.
If that's true, then, you know, and I assume it is, don't know, then maybe that's the reason. I read that it's the reason because May 1st happens to be this year's movable feast. I think it's the Feast of Grace or something like that, which is why the official word from Rome, why they chose today.
Right. And we did note last week that there may be nothing more sinister about this than it happened to be the first available Sunday after the season of Lent. So.
We would not be doing our jobs, though, if we had not made mention of it.
Right.
And again, we are not bashing the Catholic Church. We are making comments about behavior that is unscriptural, and it has nothing to do with the denomination.
And that's what it comes down to. There is no precedent or scriptural support for the practice of canonization of mortal men and women.
No, right? But you know what? You get back to relics. I mean, there are those in Assembly of God churches that practice prayer cloths.
Yes.
Which is not a whole lot different.
That is absolutely true.
You know, they'll carry their prayer cloth around in their wallet.
Right, right. And they would turn around and probably point to the same scriptures that, you know, there was a kerchief that the Apostle Paul touched and someone else touched it and they were healed. Note that this was
not Kenneth Copeland, though.
Not Kenneth Copeland.
And he's famous for his prayer cloths.
Oh, and who was the guy who was doing the anointed things where oil was coming from his feet? Oh,
is that the same guy that glitter was coming?
Glitter was coming.
Angels were all around him.
Yes. Joshua Mills, that's the kid.
Yes.
You can get a prayer cloth soaked with oil from Joshua Mills' feet, and you know, then you too can be among the uber anointed. I just think that's
for only $19.95.
Exactly.
And today only we're sending two. Just pay separate shipping and handling.
So you're right. There are things among the Protestant denominations that mimic these sorts of practices. The idea that you can get an anointed prayer cloth that would somehow work some sort of supernatural healing or some sort of supernatural intervention in your life, again, is not scriptural. But that's where these new apostles say, aha, we are in a second apostolic age.
Well, before you take that turn, and I can see it in your eyes, let me just very quickly say what the other event, big event, other than Doctor Who last night, that took place this past weekend was the marriage of William and Kate.
Yes, yes.
William's mother, Diana, is practically a saint with some people. And she is worshipped.
She is certainly venerated, yes.
And I saw a special on her dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Again, relics. They were treated as if they were relics from some holy saint. In fact, the special that I watched that was part of the narration was that it's very similar to reliquaries within the Catholic Church.
Hmm.
That these glassed boxes that were holding the dresses of Diana with all of these people coming to pay homage. Very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those, if you look on the internet, you'll find it. There are those literally who see her as a saint. She is in some places equated to Mary, the Mother of God.
I wonder, is it really that?
Diana, Queen of Heaven, is what you see.
Are you, really?
Oh, yes. You've never seen those sites?
Oh, I'm looking it up right now. Diana, Queen of Heaven. Well, yeah, DianaQueenOfHeaven.com. Great. Googly moogly. Huh. That is, wow, that is creepy.
They've taken her comment that she wanted to be the queen of hearts,
mm-hmm.
the queen of people's hearts, and they have taken it to the next step, way beyond the next step, to the Immaculate Heart.
Huh. That is really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
She was a, and of course Diana is interesting because that was one of the ancient goddesses that...
who in many ways was just another representation of Semiramis.
Right. Wasn't it the silversmiths who were making all the stuff for Diana in Ephesus that got really bent out of shape that Paul and Barnabas were, or was it Paul and Silas, who were cutting into their business by turning people away from the worship of Diana?
You know, you may be right. Your memory is so good,
well,
and mine is so
if it was
so
really
bad.
Good, I'd know the... I know exactly what I was talking about.
Sam, what do you think? Silas? Barnabas?
Yeah. Acts chapter 19. A certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought charge against Paul for cutting into the business there. That got him into trouble. Anyway.
Posted a comment on his website.
Yeah. Defriended him on Facebook.
No. So anyway, that took place this weekend, which I find really interesting.
Speaking of heaven and signs in the sky, scientists are freaking out. And this is actually not new news, but it just crossed our radar today, thanks to Tom Horn's Raiders News Update, the weekly archives that Donna edits and puts out on Sundays.
She is amazing. I love that site. You know, and it's one of the reasons, honestly, that I have sort of let PID News just kind of, we've been really busy, but I've kind of let it go because honestly, Raiders News is, they're on top of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to do anything. I just go there.
Yeah. And we will get back to there will be a new site design coming for PIDnews.com.
We're just not really sure what it's going to be.
Yeah. But essentially, what's going on here is that scientists have discovered that the sun is emitting some heretofore unknown particle. Researchers from Stanford and Purdue universities have arrived at it's a really unusual conclusion coming from scientists because they really don't know what the answer is. And I think that's why they appear to be panicking because they don't know what's going on. They have no way of controlling this or measuring it. And it also flies in the face of what they thought they knew about the very nature of the universe.
Light is a constant. Time is a constant.
Radioactive decay is a constant.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, apparently, the sun might be emitting a previously unknown particle that is meddling with the decay rates of matter, or we are seeing some brand new physics. Now, why does the radioactive rate of decay matter? Carbon-14 has been the rate of decay of carbon-14, which decays into nitrogen-14, has been used to date archaeological artifacts for years.
Mm-hmm.
Archaeologists measure the quantity of carbon-14 found inside organic matter at a dig site, and based on that, they can determine the age
of an organic material.
Right. Now, carbon-14 is based on a huge assumption, and that assumption, of course, is that the rate of decay.
And we have said this on the show many times. You can't make that assumption that all the way into the past that it's always been the same.
Right. So what appears to be happening is that I'm trying to find the article that I had first found here because it was a little more.
Well, do you remember if the article stated that all particles' decay rate was changing?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. I had saved what I thought was the article I wanted to use, and I saved the other article.
Because aren't the big atomic clocks based on decay rates?
Yes.
Like the big cesium clocks?
Right, exactly. Here we go. Found the article. This is from a website, and I will link to this in the show notes so you can read it for yourself because it's a lot to digest. It's from a website called projectworldawareness.com. This is from last October. So, again, this is not new as far as being out there as information, but it was new to us.
Yeah, but it wasn't seems as like, long ago as you think.
That's right. Because the physicists who are looking at this are saying, you know, if this rate of decay is changing, this may lead to a phenomenon known as time dilation, which means time may, in fact, and we've talked about this before, time may be speeding up, and they don't know why. Time, in fact, may be speeding up, and they don't really know why.
I think it's the silence.
Well, it could be. And of course, if you watched Doctor Who last night, you know what we were talking about.
And if not, shame on you.
But so they've discovered anomalies in the decay rates of various isotopes, not just carbon-14, but other isotopes. And what it boils down to is this, and this is really interesting because of the number involved here. They have correlated the anomalies in the decay rates to a 33-day cycle.
33.
Yeah. And this time frame just happens to match the 33-day rotation of the core of the sun. Now, this would be one cosmic coincidence.
Oh, listen, people who have seen that terrible movie, 2012, mm-hmm. are probably with the scientists screaming for their lives right now. Those who have seen the movie Knowing mm-hmm. are probably screaming for their lives right now.
Like many of these scientists apparently are, according to this article.
If you have read the end of the book, the Bible, which mm-hmm. just means the book, then you know that God wins.
Mm-hmm.
That means we win. Winning!
Yeah, that's right. Duh, winning. Thank you, Charlie Sheen, our new favorite phrase. So either the sun is emitting... either we've discovered or scientists have discovered a new property of neutrinos because it's known that the sun's core, you know, emits neutrinos, mm-hmm. Or the sun is emitting a new particle altogether that has yet to be discovered, or no particle at all is behind the change, which means that the phenomenon is a previously unknown force.
And it could be that the season will be even shorter this year, so the Cubs may have a chance. The June swoon.
we'll start dead May 15th. And that's the most likely outcome of all of this. So anyway, yes, I will post a link to this article in the show notes at pidradio.com.
Oh, that is
and
so
also
interesting.
A link to the other article from discovery.com, which also reported on this back in October. Actually, no, it was Discovery News posted this back last October, or last August, rather. So,
time is fluid. It's August, October.
Yeah, wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey. Yes. So we missed out on that. But wanted to bring that to you after Tom posted it at Raiders News, because that is really intriguing. And there are other scientists who have noticed that some of the heretofore unexplained properties of the universe, you know, the apparent acceleration of the universe away from each other may not, in fact, be acceleration. It may just be that we don't really measure time correctly.
Mm-hmm.
That time may be a
wibbly wobbly timey wimey,
an inconstant mm-hmm. as opposed to a constant. Like the birth certificate of Barack Obama appears to be inconstant.
Oh, gosh.
They finally released it this past week. Donald Trump takes credit for it, winning, and. It was about one day before critics already stepped up and say, well, okay, here's a couple of things. Now, Wayne Madsen, whose credentials we cannot vouch for. He's written some very interesting, some very
He writes
compelling.
Some stuff that really just – it makes it sound like he's getting deep inside information.
Yeah, either that or he's just trying to write stuff to attract attention, but he is –
Well, it works. Reported. He is attracting attention.
That's fact. He's a contributor at Russia Today, which is interesting in and of itself. But anyway, the certificate of live birth issued by the White House shows the race of Barack Obama's father as black. And as Madsen points out in his article, in 1961, the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare classified non-whites who were not Asian, Eskimo, Hawaiian, part Hawaiian, or other non-white as Negro.
They would I thought it listed him as African.
Right. That is correct. So anyway, it would not have the point being that according to Madsen, the that African, the term African on the birth certificate is an anomaly that indicates that it's a forgery. Carl Denninger, who writes at MarketTicker.com, he goes into some more detail and explains how the font not being anti-aliased, even though it's a color document, is indicative of a forgery. So there are already critics out there who are saying, look, this is a forgery and it's not even a good one.
Look, so. I don't trust it because it took him so long, 2 years, to come up with it. He ran for office in 2008. This is 2011.
Yep.
He should have come up with this a long time ago.
Absolutely.
3 years.
Spent a couple million dollars of money to defend this in court rather than just spending the $20 to get the state of Hawaii to issue the certificate and put this all to
bed. Look, if someone demanded mine, I've got it. I can have it for you in 2 minutes.
Well, in fact, the Department of Motor Vehicles here in the state of Illinois will require exactly that document. And this is the thing that really has irritated me about all of this, that apparently the United States government required less documentation of Barack Obama's place of birth than the state of Indiana required of me
to be in a sensitive position.
In charge of the nuclear football.
Yes.
Than the state of Indiana required of me to operate a motor vehicle.
I have to provide more information for Sam than that.
So anyway, we'll see what comes of this.
Sam used to visit the nursing home where Debbie worked.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have his immunization and vaccination a certificate with me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just take a dog in.
No, well, you would understand why not.
Couldn't just take a presidential candidate in either.
Well,
can you show us your documentation, sir?
Maybe you could, though.
Oh, apparently so.
Yeah, because, you know, if you ask, you're a birther, which means, well.
Well, that's just it. If you can give someone a prerogative name, pejorative name, sorry, prerogative. Yeah, that's, oh, well. I'll come in again. If you can give somebody a name that sounds, make them sound like a nut, like tea bagger.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
Some kind of birther.
Birther, truther. Right. Well, anyway, yeah, that was supposed
Barber
to.
Shopper.
Well, hey, let's not go there.
Hello. Cub fan.
Yeah. So anyway, that issue is not yet seen the.
It's going to eventually disappear.
It will, but it probably is going to hang on through the summer because Jerome Corsi has a new book coming out that is already number one at the New York Times, and it has not even officially been released yet, that purports to show, not just with the birth certificate, but a number of other corroborating pieces of evidence.
That like he was born in Kenya.
That Kenya or somewhere else. There's got to be some reason why Barack Obama's Social Security number comes from Connecticut.
Well, there's an article today saying that Barack Obama Sr. was kicked out of Harvard. Is that where he was getting his PhD?
They were concerned about
that
his
that he had too
financial.
Many wives.
Yeah, they didn't know how many wives he had. They were concerned about his financial status.
Well, that's what they said. According to the INS note at the time, said that Harvard was trying to cook up some way to get him kicked out of the country.
Hmm. Well, it is not something that's going to go away as easily as all that.
No, I think it's a complicated issue. It's like trying to figure out what happened on Doctor Who last night.
Yeah. No.
What the heck was that ending?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, an event that I think we might have mentioned in passing. I don't really remember whether we did or not. We talked about a couple of gatherings of Dominionists.
Yes.
Yeah, Liberty University.
In our backyard. What were they doing back there?
Well, they weren't weeding, that's for sure. It would have been helpful.
I know.
Liberty University hosted the Awakening 2011, which was a big gathering, included Newt Gingrich and
a number
of others.
Was that this past weekend?
That was, that was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
But April 14th and 15th, Rick Joyner, who's one of the leading lights among this new apostolic reformation, hosted the Oak Initiative, an Oak Initiative convention or conference. The Oak Initiative is his political action committee, which includes Reverend Sam Rodriguez, Cindy Jacobs of Generals International, retired General Lieutenant Jerry Boykin of Kingdom Warriors. That's his ministry now. But it also featured a couple of people who I'm really kind of disturbed that they were there. Tony Perkins, who's the president of the American Family Association, was there as a speaker. And the headline speaker, keynote speaker, was Dr. Alan Keyes.
Former ambassador. You really liked Keyes there for a while.
He's a very intelligent guy. He's very well spoken. I agree with him, and I think we both agree, that America would be a much better place if more true Christians were in public office
and influencing public policy. I absolutely agree with that. The problem is, to get to high office, the way politics works is you have to compromise your values, your beliefs,
right,
or you are not likely to get there. The only difference is if God places you there for his reasons, but he also places non-believers there for his reasons.
Right. And we've seen many examples of that, see many examples of that in Scripture. Well, Joyner hosted these groups, these folks at the Oak Initiative Conference in South Carolina, and posted to his online TV network, MorningstarTV.com, an interview with Tony Perkins, General Boykin, and Joyner. And Joyner, I just want to play a little clip from this interview, because he talked about a new group that they want to create. And they'd been discussing why Christians need to be involved in politics, that politics is a dirty business. This is according to Tony Perkins. Politics is a dirty business because Christians aren't in it. I think it's the other way around. I think politics, in order to win power, you've got to make concessions on what you believe in order to consolidate a base of power. But anyway, Joyner said this about a group that they hope to create.
We've got far more than enough people. If we will take our stand and resolve, we will not retreat, that we will take our stand now, we're not going back any further, and we're going to recover all that was lost. We've got more than enough people to do it. We need to bind together into a fellowship of those who are willing to do this. We're part of starting something of a fellowship. It's called 300. You'll hear more about it. We're not going to retreat any further.
300. Now, earlier in this clip, they had talked about the Persian king Xerxes. So the reference there, of course, to 300 is
intentional.
The Spartans, the Spartan army that held off the Persian army long enough for the rest of the Greek city-states to get together. And this is not unusual for Joyner and others in this new apostolic movement to use overtly military terminology to talk about the spiritual, supernatural war in which we're engaged. Don't know what he's talking about when he talks about this group called 300. We're going to watch this and see what develops from this, because making reference to guys who are willing to making reference to the Spartans, you know, the Spartan military in the context of the struggle between the forces of the followers of Jesus Christ and the forces of the prince of this world is a little chilling, because that's the conflict that will only, I mean, that conflict will only take place when Jesus returns at the head of the heavenly host.
Absolutely. In fact, had Jesus chosen to take the government at the time that he came originally, he could have done all of these things, but he chose not to do that. In fact, he was encouraged to do that by his followers.
Yes.
So, you're going to take the kingdom now?
Yeah. And
that's what they thought he was doing when he walked into Jerusalem. They thought he was coming in as the new king.
And even after 40 days following, the 40 days following the resurrection, you can read in Acts chapter 1, the very last scene between Jesus and his followers. They were asking him, will you restore the kingship to Israel now?
No,
they still didn't get it.
We are not ushering in a golden age where governments are run by Christians.
Exactly. So keep an eye on that. And that is the point of our concern with the whole Dominion Theology movement. Really, it's not the threat that Rick Joyner or someone like him will be president someday. I don't see that happening in our secular society. An overtly Christian religious leader is not going to get elected to high political office. The danger is that well-meaning Christians who are rightly disturbed by the moral decay of our society will be lured into this belief system where we will welcome somebody someday who comes along and says, I feel your pain. Let's, we all need to get together and create.
Someone who says he is not only a Christian, but that he is Christ.
Yes, exactly. This is the belief system that ultimately results in someday, whether it's soon or in the future someday, well-meaning, well-intentioned Christians welcoming with open arms and laying the groundwork for the ascension of the Antichrist.
Amen.
So,
amen. Well, what, how long have we been here?
We have gone farther than we need to go
no
for this
wonder
week.
Sam is over there complaining.
Yes, he is starting to do so. Well, next week, Friday, I intend to get back to live versions of A View from the Bunker. So blogtalkradio.com/PID radio. Friday night, it'll be 10 p.m. Eastern time again. Don't have a guest lined up. I'm just going to go back and do it. If I can get a guest lined up for next week, great. I think that'll probably be better than 2 hours of me rambling. But we need to get this back off the ground again. There is much to discuss. More audio clips like the one I just played to feature during the program. And we do have people that we need to speak with about research and work that they've done.
Very much so. And I think your show has been sorely missed, honey, because you and I, you know, we do 30, 45 minutes, whatever it is we talk till we're done, once a week. That's really not enough to express how you and I feel about what's going on in the world. I think that you bring on guests that help to not only edify, but also to teach what Scripture means. And honey, I got to say, you do a great job.
Well, thank you. You're too kind.
In fact, I have to mention this. Not only do you do a great job, but you have a great radio voice. Someone within the company that Derek works for called his phone and was surprised when he answered because she had phoned simply because she'd been told he had a great radio voice.
Had to hear them. You weren't supposed to pick up. Oh, well, sorry to disappoint you. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.